Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining us today. Thanks for being part of our day and for hanging around with us. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll take advantage of all the resources that are there to help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. They're all made available for free thanks to my organization and our outstanding corporate partners. And I hope you thank them for helping me to make this all of our resources available to you for free. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there and all the other things that are there just for you. Bill Dunkelberg is our guest. Dr. William Dunkelberg is a longtime member of our Brain Trust, the chief economist for the National Federation of Independent Business, professor of economics at Temple University, formerly the head of the entire business school, the dean of the business school over there at Temple, and now he's taking it a little bit easier and enjoying the what he's doing with the NFIB and his students. And also, hopefully, he's enjoying being on our show on a regular basis, bringing us the report of small business indicators that he does small business economic trends that he does every month. Bill, welcome back to the show.
Oh, no, there you finally hit something that's fun.
Exactly right. Exactly. Well, what's the basic news of the trend this month? It's not looking too bad.
No, it was a good month As you may recall, we had a strange dip in the optimism index in March, so it dropped a couple of points down to 98, and that's 2 points below the 30-year average.
That was for March.
Yeah, that was for March, and so we wondered what was going on there because the reports for what actually happened in March for small business was very good. Profits were up, sales were strong, but the forward-looking variables all kind of declined, but April kind of put that back in place. So April looked good. April, the index is back up over 100, which is based, of course, in 1986, which is a very good economy. So kind of, you know, translate 100 equals 3.5% real growth and pretty low inflation and so on. That was so that looked pretty good. And in particular, we had a huge surge in hiring plans and job openings, and that was really good news for the labor market side.
Right. Well, and of course, you know, one of the things we have to be careful about, Bill, and you've taught us this over the last several years, is taking 1 month and getting too excited about it because we had a tremendous first quarter, didn't we? I mean, March notwithstanding, first quarter GDP was incredible.
Yeah, well, and of course, it's going to be revised up to be even more incredible. It came
really?
In at 4.9, I think, or 4.8.
Wow.
Yeah, 4.8, I think, 4.8% real growth. Trend would be around 3.1, somewhere in there. So 4.8 is huge, and now it looks like, from my little back-of-the-envelope calculations, we'll be looking at something closer to 6 when they come in with the second number.
6?
Yeah, how about that?
What? 6% growth in the first quarter?
Right.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Holy mackerel.
I kid you not.
My goodness. Well, you know, and the thing is, well, here's what gets me, Bill. Here's the headlines. Here's what you get in the headlines. The economy is cooling off. You know, and what happened is we went from 250 miles an hour down to a still dangerous 125 miles an hour. You know, we're going to go from 6% growth in the first quarter to maybe 3.3 or something like that, probably in the second quarter. It's still humming along at a darn good pace, but that's not what the headlines will say.
Right, and and the pace is so darn good that, you know, the Fed's going to look at it and say,
yeah,
oops, that's too fast.
Right.
Give us another speeding ticket.
Well, as I have said before, the thing that bothers me about where the Fed is right now is that they, you know, they're trying to slow down the economy, and every time they raise interest rates, it's disproportionately punitive to small businesses, Bill. You know that.
Well, it certainly is. If for no other reason than small business dominates the housing market, and the housing market is really the conduit that the Fed has to connect the monetary world with the real world. So when the Fed slams on the brakes, why, it's construction that really takes the hit first.
Yep.
And that's our small guys and gals out there. You know,
they're being
the big builders, but you know, most of the homes in America get built by small businesses.
That's exactly right. And the subcontractors and the people who provide the contents for the houses are mostly small business owners. And we're getting hit by really in that industry is getting hit by a triple whammy: increased fuel prices, increased interest rates, and increase in goods and materials.
Right. You know, costs are going up there all over, and we clearly see now that prices are softening.
Right.
So costs are up, prices are down, not a good deal.
But I don't care what you read in the paper, folks. There is no bubble. There won't be a bubble bursting. So don't worry about that. It's just going to be a little bit of an adjustment. 20 Till, we'll be right back with our good friend Dr. Bill Dunkelberg right after these messages. Stay with us. Back at 17 Till, I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and ladies and gentlemen, there are many people out there who are discovering the value of small business, the importance of small business, the impact small businesses have on the economy, the contribution that they make. There are many people who are now realizing that what small business owners say and think, and what they know and what they've learned by being in the marketplace is something that they want to know about. More and more people are discovering that. Well, guess what? You remember that song, folks, I Was Country When Country Wasn't Cool? Well, Bill Dunkelberg was considering the opinions of small business owners long before small business was cool, and he's been doing this survey now for over 30 years. And so I'll tell you, when you think about people who care, not only care about small business, but who's been putting their money where their mouth is, they've been putting their energies and their efforts where their mouth is for a long time, longer than anybody that I know. It's Bill Dunkelberg. And Bill, on behalf of all of us, for caring about us as you have over the years, we thank you.
Well, my pleasure.
Well,
what better group to be affiliated with?
We're so lovable and huggable, aren't we, Bill?
And the nation builders, I mean.
That's exactly right. and the other good thing, folks, it doesn't hurt for Bill to be pretty well connected with the monetary folks. He knows the folks at the Fed, and they talk to him, and they listen to him, too. And so, Bill, I appreciate that, too. I appreciate knowing that there's somebody out there who's saying, hey, guys, you know, what you're doing, you know, you can't look at this. I know that the Fed's remediation, or their remedies, I should say, for the economy is a pretty blunt instrument. But to whatever degree we can get them to you know, sort of, make their instrument a little more elegant so that it doesn't disproportionately hurt small business owners. If we can figure that out, Bill, I think whoever figures that out should get a Nobel Prize or something.
There you go.
And you'd be my nominee, by the way. Bill, what about hiring? We had a great first quarter for hiring, didn't we?
We did. We had quite a good set of numbers. I mean, the April number was a little low. But, you know, I think we're averaging around 170,000, 180,000 a month, which is a very, very good pace. Well, we'd be happy. I mean, even 140,000 a month would be really good, and we fell to around, I think, 138 on the first guess that the government made. So, you know, that looks really good. And, of course, the April numbers really soared. So looking at May and June, you know, based on the NFIB survey, we should see some pretty good job numbers, some very strong numbers for May and June, and a decline in the unemployment rate from an already very, very low 4.7%. That job openings numbers, 31% of our owners said they have at least one opening they can't fill. That's the strongest we've seen since the insanity in 2000.
Right, which was based on popular delusions and not
right. Right, exactly. Misperceptions of how strong the economy could become.
Which is why I'm so much more excited about what's going on right now, Bill, because what's happening is that this economy that we're building on right now is based on economics. It's based on the principles of economics. It's sound fundamentals. It's also new jobs. I mean, when I say that, they're 21st century jobs, the new ones. They're not.
Right.
They're not trying to force old jobs on a new economy. These are new jobs, for, new economy jobs for a new economy.
Yeah, that, you know, we're not. This expansion is not rooted in insanity.
Right.
Especially since we can firmly declare there's not a housing bubble out there at the moment, and look how well we're doing.
Right. No, it always irritated me a little bit that Mr. Greenspan kept talking about the housing bubble, and I felt like he was kind of, you know, saber rattling when he said that. Bill, one of the books on the bookshelf that in my studio here that I keep right in front of me is McKay's 1848 book, Extraordinary Popular Delusions and the Madness of Crowds.
Yeah.
I love that book, and it only because history does repeat itself, and we saw that in the 90s, and we're not seeing that now. I mean, this is a real economy, and I remember when some people called this the jobless recovery, and they acted like you know that somebody ought to do something about it. And you and I both in those days, 4 or 5 years ago, we were both saying, "Hey, folks, just give the economy a little time to catch up. These jobs just need to catch up with the economy," and that's what right now.
Employment always lags the spending. You don't hire until you know the demand is there, and so when the economy takes off and starts growing, it always is quote unquote jobless because you don't actually start putting new people on until you're pretty sure you need them, and that always is the case. But we're very short-sighted people and very immediate gratification oriented, unfortunately.
Well, exactly, and I'm reading a book about Nobel about Alfred Nobel. And the prize right now, Bill, and it's interesting to see how. Of course, he was a European guy. He'd been to the United States, but he spent most of his life in Europe, almost all of his life in Europe. And when he talked about democracies, he observed democracies and compared them to socialist states and the monarchies. And it's interesting that the things that he disliked about democracies, about how they overreact to public opinion and to what newspapers say. It's interesting that when the quotes that he made over 100 years ago, maybe 120 years ago, you could actually apply them to exactly today to our politicians.
Yeah, today. That's true.
It's uncanny, and of course, whatever the government gives us, that's what small business owners wind up having, and so we have to deal with all that. We're going to take a quick break, Bill. When we come back, I want to ask you about what you're seeing out there, the impact of gasoline. And when I'm going to ask Bill, folks, is there a tipping point coming? If gasoline keeps rising, is there a tipping point coming when we finally just say, hey, I just can't go any further. We can't absorb this anymore. I'm just going to have to cut back. And then when that happens, could that be dangerous? Intel, we'll be right back with Dr. Bill Dunkelberg. He's with the NFIB, the National Federation of Independent Business. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with Dr. Bill Dunkelberg. He's professor of economics at Temple University in Philadelphia, and he's also the chief economist, and has been now for many years, of the National Federation of Independent Business. That's NFIB.com. And you can find Bill's survey every month on my website. He allows us to put it on our surveys link on our homepage, but also at NFIB.com. And, Bill, that you've got another website, too, where they can find it.
Right. We put the charts up and the last 12 months reports on smallbiz.org. That's B-U-S, S-M-A-L-L-B-U-S.org.
.org. So check that out, folks.
Right.
And it's plain English. I really encourage you folks to, you know, I mean, Bill and I, when we talk about this report, we don't get nearly all of the information out that's on this report. It's written in plain English. Even the charts are easy to read, which there are not too many of those. And I think the reason I think you ought to read them is because it's talking about your marketplace. This report is reporting on what your peers are saying about the marketplace, and I think you ought to be comparing what you're seeing, what you're finding in the marketplace, with what these respondents said about their what they're seeing in the marketplace. I think it really will help you to plan for the future. Bill, I asked before we went to the break about a tipping point. Is there a point where either gas gets so high or it remains so high that you know, so far it looks like higher gas prices haven't really harmed the economy. Maybe it's helped slow it down a little bit, but hasn't harmed it. Of course, based on first quarter of 06, it didn't do anything. But
that's right.
Is there a tipping point beyond which small business owners and consumers maybe will say, you know what, this is really getting gone too long. I'm cutting back. I'm shutting back. I'm slowing down.
Sure. Well, I don't think there's a price where, you know, something different happens. I think there's a fundamental law in economics called the law of demand. It says the higher the price, the lower the quantity taken. It applies to everything. But it's, you know, with goods like gasoline, it's slow because you've already decided where you're going to live, where you put your firm, you've already bought the trucks with engines in them that are a certain technology, et cetera. And so you don't change quickly, and often we don't change very much because the price of gas is so volatile, it goes way up and then it always comes back down again. If it doesn't come back down, and it's been persistently high now for a while, we, of course, will adjust. That is, the next time you got to buy a truck, you're going to say, well, oil prices aren't going back down, and so I'm going to get a different truck, and I'm going to do...
Find a new way to deliver things.
Right, and energy prices are staying high in general, so I'm going to insulate my building differently, or I'm going to get different kinds of air conditioners. I'm going to, you know, so the inefficiency starts building itself in. And the other thing to keep in mind is our economy has really dramatically changed. We're much more a service sector economy than we are a heavy output production, you know, chunks of steel production economy.
Mm-hmm.
And so we only use about half as much oil per dollar of GDP today as we did 20 or 30 years ago. So the price increase has much less impact on the economy overall, as we're seeing. And we did a lot of adjusting before, and we'll continue to adjust, you know, hybrid cars and all these other kinds of things. So we adjust all the time to this, and the longer the prices stay high, of course, the more adjusting we'll do.
Don't you believe, though, that for as long as for anywhere in the, near the foreseeable future, we need to expect to pay what most people would consider higher prices for oil? I mean, when I say that, I mean clearly above $40 and probably above $50 for as far in the future as anybody could imagine.
Oh, sure. The world is having an unusual event called synchronous global expansion. So the estimates now is that the world GDP is going to grow between 4 and 5%. Well, that's
wow. That's
almost unheard of. Usually, you know, when the United States is a boom, you know, Europe has a recession, there's some kind of balance there. But right now you've got Europe doing pretty well for Europe. You got the U.S. doing exceptionally well, and then you've got China doing very well and India doing very well. Well, that's, you know, I mean, that's most of the world's population right there, and certainly most of the world's GDP. So everybody's demanding more energy, and that's what's really hurting because supply takes a long time to get the supply on stream. Mexico announced a big find in the Gulf a couple of months ago, and President Fox said it'll take them 5 years to actually get production out of that.
Right.
So they found 100 million or billion barrels, but we can't have it for a while. Right. So in that interim, prices are going to be high.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bill, what do you see quickly, 15 seconds, how's the economy going to be the rest of the year?
Much slower. We can't keep the pace up for the first quarter, so we're going to see growth going back down to the mid-threes, which is a very, very nice place to be. Inflation will be a little worse. The numbers weren't great this morning, but they weren't terrible, but they keep getting worse. So the Fed's going to worry. We're going to have higher interest rates. Not a whole lot higher, but a little bit. And overall, it'll be a great year with lots of jobs.
Thanks, Bill. Good job today, as always. Bill Dunkelberg, ladies and gentlemen. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.